John 12:1-19, passages that we were all very, very familiar with. Mary and I, Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead.
There they gave the dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who reclined with him.
Mary found a costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?"
He said that not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it.
Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me."
So the plot thickened. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead.
So the chief priests went to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus.
So then we have Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So let's get a hold of your palm branches right now. And let's just start waving them in the spirit of this day. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel."
Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt."
His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify.
It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world is going after him."
Thank you, Nancy. Let's just try this a few times. We'll say, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna!
Hosanna!"
Okay, good. That's good practice. What's that? It means praise. Praise.
I was actually
more okay. Okay. Now, I want to begin by sharing just a little bit about myself. Now, my kids and I all like to go to concerts. We like live music. And Joyce likes live music too, if you count Kenny G as live, you know, good music. But anyway, no, she's not in here, so I'm just, and she'll listen later and she'll talk to me. But in 2009, Andrew and I went to see Bob Dylan, John Mellencamp, and Willie Nelson all on the same bill, right? That was amazing. It was in East Lake, Ohio at the Lake Erie Captain's Stadium. And we both love live music. And the cool thing was, there were three people that we wanted to see, right? Now, I was more interested in some than the other. And Andrew, I mean, he just wanted to see, let's see, who did we have there? There we go. I'm sorry. He wanted to see Bob Dylan. He was disappointed because Bob Dylan's voice is not so great anymore. And he saw John Mellencamp, and he liked him, and we both loved Willie. But here's the thing. The same thing is going on in John chapter 12. Because when we look at other passages, we believe that there was also a third person there, right? Lazarus was there, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Jesus was there, the one who had raised him. And we read in the other gospel accounts that there's somebody named Simon, or Simon the leper, who was also there. And we believe that this was taking place in Simon the leper's house. And so you've got Jesus. Everybody knew that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And they also knew that he had healed Simon the leper of his leprosy. So it was a great thing. And there was a huge crowd. So now John tells us in the gospel it was 6 days before the Passover. So this was the last week of Jesus' ministry before he was crucified. Of course, he did rise again, and he was with the disciples for 40 days following that. But this is 6 days before the Passover. Now, the last week of Jesus' earthly ministry, John's gospel gives us more detailed information about this last week of Jesus' life than any of the other gospels. And I would encourage you, I've encouraged some of you already, but I would encourage you to read John chapters 12 through 21. At this point, you have to read one chapter or two chapters a day leading up to Easter. And here's the thing. When we read these chapters, they are of the final week of Jesus leading up to the crucifixion. And so there's something I've found very, very touching and moving as I read these words at the exact, you know, at the same time of year leading up to Easter, and wow, and you've got this the events unfolding and getting louder and louder, and I would just encourage you to do that if you want a blessing from the Lord. Okay, now let's get back to the reading this morning. In verse 9, John says that there was a huge crowd that came to see Lazarus and Jesus and Simon the leper, who is now healed. It was a dinner party given in honor of Jesus. I mean, you know, he's the man, right? I mean, he not only heals this guy of his leprosy, but he raises another guy from the dead, right? Okay. So it's a dinner party, and Jim Bloss, was it Mary or Martha who was serving the food?
Martha.
It was Martha, yes. And that's corroborated, so you're right. You win $100 for that. I'm just kidding. But Martha was serving the food, and you know, and this was at the home of Simon the leper, we believe. Some suggest that Simon was the father of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, or possibly the husband of Martha. At any rate, he's there. They lived in the same town, small town of Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem. Now, wouldn't you have loved to have been there, right? Here's Jesus, right? You've got a guy that was dead last week. Right? And you've got another guy that was a leper, and now he's able to come out and be among the people. He's able to go into the village square. He doesn't have to stay on the outskirts of town. He doesn't need to stay away from people. You know, can you imagine the discussions, the conversations that were happening? So Lazarus, what is it really like to be dead? I mean, and when did you first know? You know, how did it feel? Was there a tingling? What happened? Do you remember what Jesus said to you? Can you imagine that? I can't wait to get to heaven and talk to Lazarus about it myself. Can you imagine these things? This next section I'm going to call All In. All In. Because that's the way Jesus lived his life. There's something else that was amazing. It seems like the centerpiece of this story is something that Mary does, right? She took a pound of pure nard, which is a very expensive ointment, and we know that it was shipped in from India. And it was 300 denarii, which is 300 days' wages. So almost a year's wages is in this alabaster jar that has come from India. And of course, we know that you know, the one who is to betray Jesus complains about that. They shouldn't have spent that money, but John is quick to tell us that he just wanted the money for himself. He wasn't really concerned about the poor. But here's an interesting thing. People would invest in nard, which is this expensive perfume, very much like people invest in gold today. It was a solid investment. And another thing, another peculiar thing that we need to understand about women in this society. For a woman to have her hair down was very unusual because her hair was her glory and only her husband was to see it. It was very unusual for a woman, unless they were a prostitute, or if they were in a very close relationship, maybe in the midst of family. But Mary had no problem whatsoever. She was all in with Jesus. Their hair was a woman's prized possession, indicating extreme closeness and love. And we know from the gospel accounts that Mary and Lazarus and Martha all loved Jesus very, very much. And so, as she is washing his feet with her tears and with this oil, and she is drying them with her hair, this is an act of worship, but it's also an act of prophecy. Because Jesus had been telling the disciples he was going to die. And Jesus said that this ointment was bought for him to prepare his body for burial. And he had no problem talking about that. Judas complained it was too much money spent on perfume, give it to the poor. He didn't really care about the poor, as we said. As a matter of fact, the Apostle John called him a thief. Now I want to, as we're talking about being all in, are you all in with Jesus? Are you all in with Jesus? I'm going to ask you four questions. How much do you give to Jesus? Now, I'm not just talking about money, but how about time? Do you give Jesus maybe 60 seconds in the car on your way to work? So how much do you give to Jesus, and why do you give to Jesus? What has he done for you? The second set of questions are these. How much do you love Jesus, and why do you love him? You see, just like Mary, Martha, and everyone who was gathered at the house, some people were all in with Jesus. They were sold out. They were all in. They seriously cannot do enough for Jesus. And there are those who are not all in with Jesus, and they didn't get it. And those people criticize, just like they do today. They say, well, yeah, Jesus is okay, but I don't get it. But Judas didn't get it. He refused to go there. He knew about Jesus, but he didn't get to know Jesus closely. Why were some people all in with Jesus? I would suggest that reading the Gospels, we find that Jesus was always ready to be all in with everybody he met, right? It didn't matter what class he was. He talked with kings and rulers, right? He talked to Pilate. He was all in with them, right? Jesus is all in with you and me and everyone. Most of the Pharisees were not at that level with Jesus, and they certainly did not seem to be all in with the common people. And that's where Jesus was different. Jesus was all in with these people. When people met Jesus, he met their needs and he talked to them. He didn't care what class they were. He didn't care if they shouldn't be touched because they had leprosy. He would touch them. He didn't care if he wasn't supposed to hang around with them because she was an adulterous woman. He hung around with her. Those who needed the Pharisees' help didn't get it oftentimes. But Jesus, on the other hand, was a refreshing personality. He was real. He was humble. He was honest. He was believable. Some people are all in with Jesus. Those who are not at that level complain about those who are all in, just like Judas complained. And he said he wanted to help the poor when really he just wanted the money. Now, if you've been here for a couple of sermons, you know that there's a little prayer that I have. And it's one way for us to get all in with Jesus. Because it's one thing to know about Jesus, but it's another thing to know Jesus. Can you say amen to that? It is one thing to know about Jesus, but it's a completely different thing to know Jesus. And that 10-word prayer that I've shared with you many times, it indicates that we are ready to submit. And that 10-word prayer, I'll say it once and you can repeat it with me. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. when you pray that prayer, say that a few times, and you mean it and you think about it, it begins the submissive act of submitting to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus was humble. This occasion, when he's riding on the donkey, this is the first time that Jesus allowed a public declaration of himself as the Messiah. Why is that? Because he knew what would happen when he did it. And it started happening. The establishment, the preachers, the teachers, the Pharisees, they didn't like that because he was on their turf, right? People were expecting a majestic, conquering king to come as the Messiah, to come on a horse. But Jesus chose not to come as a conquering king, but instead as a peaceful king, ushering in the kingdom of peace. Not riding on a big horse, but riding on a small donkey, a colt. After the fact, we read in the Gospels, they looked back and they understood, looking backwards, what Jesus was doing as he was humble and came riding on the donkey. I'm going to give you another version of the story that we just read. There's just a little more detail, and I think it's interesting to share with you this morning. One of the Pharisees asked to eat with him. This is I'll give you the scripture. It's Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now the Pharisee who had invited him, and this was Simon, saw this, and he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, hearing him, said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon says, okay, teacher, speak. And he said this, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other only 50 denarii. So one owed 10 times as much to the moneylender. When neither one of them could pay, he canceled the debt of both of them. Now listen to this. He asked him, now which of them do you suppose will love him more? That's an easy question, isn't it? Simon answered, but he says, well, I suppose, see, Jesus caught him, I suppose the one whom he had canceled the larger debt. Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Then turning towards the woman, the adulterous woman, whom Jesus had forgiven, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are now forgiven, because she has loved me very much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. The story is told of a man who is driving a long distance across country. He's driving and he sees a hitchhiker, and he was strangely drawn to the hitchhiker. There was definitely something about this man. He was not accustomed to picking up hitchhikers, but he was definitely not afraid. So he stops. He knew he was not going to rob him or harm him. He could just tell. He gave him a ride. They had an amazing conversation. They talked for hours and hours. And he felt like he had known this hitchhiker all his life. One thing he noticed was this hitchhiker was much more at peace than he was. He also had more forgiveness for others who had wronged him. He had more control over his life. After several days, as they were riding together, he told the driver all that he needed to know. The driver was so impressed with the man, and he said, "You have done so much for me. What now can I do for you?" The hitchhiker said, "I'm glad you asked, and you may not believe this, but I'm going to tell you. Because I was born to drive your car. And if you allow me to drive it, I guarantee you that you will arrive safely, in excellent health, richer than you would have been, in better health than you would have been, with much more love and purpose and meaning and peace in knowing that I have taken care of you." Don't we all want more health, love, and purpose and meaning in our lives? What did the driver do? "He was born to drive my car and your car." Of course, we're talking about Jesus. And Jesus wants to call the shots. It's one thing to know about Jesus. It's quite another to know him. And just like if you were playing a pickup basketball game, if you had Michael Jordan on your team, it's a no-brainer. Michael Jordan was born to play basketball. And Jesus was born to drive your car. I mean, drive your life. He has peace and power and blessings that only he can give. He wants to be all in with you today, just like the people of that first Palm Sunday. He wants to be all in with you, like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The reason they acted the way they acted was because they had surrendered and they had made a decision. He wants to be all in with you. But where is Jesus? Is he your co-pilot? Is he sitting next to you in the seat, giving you map directions? Are you learning to trust him? Is that where you're at with Jesus? Are you just kind of handoffish, standoffish? Now, some of you have got Jesus in the back seat, I know. You know, he's not even in the front seat. He's in the back seat. And some of you threw him out at the last intersection, at the corner of "It's My Life" and "Get Lost," right? Yeah. Get out of here. I don't need Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Or do you only know about Jesus? Are you all in? Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul called the Christian experience being in Christ? The Catholics call it regeneration. You can call it being born again. Whatever you want to call it. But on this Palm Sunday, we saw a foretaste of a small group of people. Well, it was a large group of people, but there was a group of people that were all in with Jesus. And the way we can become all in with Jesus is to pray that prayer and start on that road. "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life." Would you say that again with me? "Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life." You can pray that prayer. If you want to share that, if you want to talk with me afterwards anytime, we can pray that prayer and we will do God's business. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming. We thank you that you are all in with everyone who accepts you. You are all in. Help us to be all in and to experience more than we have ever experienced in our lives. We pray these things through Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.